Last week I mentioned the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Ches Amud Beis that describes Esek B'Torah during Chag HaSukkah. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa that tells us that Shinun should occur in the Sukkah, and Rava who argues that no one can learn outside of the Sukkah. The Gemara tells us this is no machlokes, ha lemigras, ha leiyune. It depends on the type, on the speed, on the depth of learning. Rashi, the Rambam, learn as follows. If you're discussing the faster, quicker pace, that can be done in the sukkah, the migras. If you're talking about iune, that requires yishuv hadas. It requires an environment that is most conducive, and therefore, that one could depart from the sukkah. I mentioned, if you look in Chidushei HaRashba, sukkah chaches mabez, the Rashba quotes a day of that the answer is quite the reverse. Just like when it comes to achila, achilas arai, that is mutar outside of the sukkah, but not achilas keva. And the same is true when it comes to esek b'Torah. The esek which is arai, that lemigras, that one could do outside of the sukkah. But the limud which is kavua, that is li'iyune, and that has to be done in the sukkah itself. As mentioned, that's a chiddush, that day of the ritva, poshupshan, the gemara like Rashi, like the Rambam, that the limud bi'iyun, that can be done outside the sukkah. When you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah, Perakov Halachates, the Rambam writes this when it comes to Limud HaTorah, and then the Rambam adds a line that similarly when it comes to Tefillah, that the person can daven outside of the Sukkah. We don't require that all the Minyanim have to gather in Sukkos in order to daven. Why exactly is that true? So when that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Tafrei Shlamites, the Gaon just writes very briefly, because Tefillah, Ba'i iyuna. Tefillah requires iyun. Tefillah is not something which is lemigras, that a person just davens up the daven. No, that's a misnomer. No, a person has to daven with a sense of pause, with a sense of absolute yishuv hadas. And the Gaon quotes Makoros, the Sugya and Brachos and Daf Nun Dalet, Atosus and Baba Basra, Kuf Samach Beis, that tefillah is comparable to the limud bi'iyun. And that's something we have to focus on, to recognize not just simply that the responsibility or obligation of davening, but the opportunity, the privilege of davening. And that requires mesinos, that requires iyun. You can't just simply run in and run out, but you have to position yourself. You have to recognize the chashivos atvila. I would just give you could cite so many examples of the koach hatfilah, but let me just reference a few stunning, stunning examples. When you look in Parshas Chayisara, you know that Eliezer Eved Avram is in charge with finding a suitable wife for Yitzchak, and you know what? He begins his shlichus, and all of a sudden things start happening. No? It's like obvious. The Hashkochas Hashem was something that was so, so overt. You know, Rivka comes, and all of a sudden the water rises. No? It's obvious that this is all min hashamayim. An unusual pasuk, you know, that now it's necessary for Eliezer to report back exactly what happened. And he describes kol hadvarim asher asa, everything that he did. That's quite unusual, no? Everything that he did. What exactly did Eliezer do, no? Eliezer just began the shlichus, and all of a sudden, miraculously, everything started to happen. You know, it seems from the Psukim this wasn't about Eliezer, but rather this was obviously the Hashkochas Hashem of Yitzchak and Rivka. But Rashi writes one word. Why does the Pasuk attribute all of this to Eliezer? You know what Rashi writes? Because the Tfilosa. Eliezer Davin. For Siyata Dishmaya, to fulfill the Shlichus. And all of a sudden, Nisim started to occur. And the Pasuk attributes all the Nisim to what Eliezer did. What exactly did he do? He davened. And therefore, you know what? That was kol hadvarim asher asa. I once saw an incredible, incredible chizkuni. It's in Parshas Vayishlach. You know, all the shiftei kar listed in Parshas Vayishlach. And the Pasuk says, asher yulad lo b'padan aram. All of them were born in Padan Aram. Davi is kasha. That wasn't true of all of the shvatim. That was true out of 11 out of 12 Shvatim, that's true. The vast, vast, vast majority, that's true. But Binyamin was not born in Padan Aram. Binyamin was born in Eretz Canaan. And how can the Pasuk say, Asher Yulod, The Ramban brings this as a raya, that you see that the Torah often will follow the vast, vast, vast majority, that the Torah will follow the Rov. The Ramban writes this, not only there, the Ramban writes this in Shoresh Rishon, in Minyan HaMitzvos, no? The Ramban is bothered. How is it possible that the Bahad counts a few, a select few, dinim d'Rabbanan, in Minyan HaMitzvos? After all, Taryag Mitzvos Nemrosh Misinai, the Ramban writes in one line, this doesn't bother me so much because the Torah says you can follow the vast, vast majority, Vaharaya Asher Yula Lo Pipadanaran. That's the line that the Ramban writes. Yulkin Chizkuni. Chizkuni writes something pretty amazing. You know what? Yosef was born in Padanaram. And when Yosef was born, all of a sudden, at that moment, Rachel was mispalo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef Hashem Li Ben Ache. The makom hatfila was Padanaram. And therefore, as a result of that tfila, so yes, that Rachel Imun Zoche to have Binyamin, and therefore the Torah ascribes the birthplace of Binyamin, not physically where he was born, but where he was conceived through tefillah. Chizkuni, in Parshas Vayishlach. And if you ask me, is there any like clear indicator, I'll tell you that, you know, it's a Mishnah in Brachos, and Daf Nandalet. The Mishnah says, you know, you're touring Eretz Yisrael, and you come across places where Mamish Nisim occurred to our forefathers. So you have to make a bracha. Shasanisim lavosenu b'makom hazeh. The Gemara lists places. No, for example, the Evan sheyoshav alav Moshe Rabbeinu. No, that's something that's amazing. No, Bnei Yisrael engages in Melchemes Amalek. So you know what? You go to that place. You have to make a bracha. You have to make a special bracha on the Neis, commemorating the Melchama. What was the makom haNeis? What was the Makom HaNeis? You know, I would have said the Makom HaNeis is the battlefield. No. The Makom HaNeis was where Moshe Rabbeinu positioned himself. You know, where Targum Reis, that's where Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Siyat Deshmaya, for the Hatzlach of Bnei Yisrael in that Mokama. That's what Targum writes. So imagine, the Halacha, the Makom HaNeis is the Makom HaTfila. Imagine we would have a kinos tefila, and all of a sudden nes occurs, and therefore the brach is recited on the place of the kinos tefila. No, not on the battlefield itself. It's something which is striking. There are many, many examples, but I think these are three indicators of an incredible, incredible koach of tefila. But it requires that a person has to see that as not the migras, something that you run through, but rather tefila bo'i iyuna. That's what the Gaon writes. And Tafresh Lamites, that's something which is quite, quite, quite important. I would just add the following. The Gemara says in the Dedim Masechas Brachos that David HaMelech degraded the Me'il of Shaul HaMelech. And as a result, the Sof Yamav, since David HaMelech, the Gemara says, somehow, Lefi Madregaso, degraded clothing, the clothing was no longer effective to be able to Lo Yichamlo, to provide him with warmth. That's like an incredible Musar Haskel. That if you don't value something, you render it ineffective. If you value something, you give it chasivos, it becomes impactful. And if you don't see it as being a davar chashuv, so therefore it doesn't have the same impact. Sometimes maybe we can help but wonder, you know, that was our tefillah really, really impactful? You know, the answer is that if the tefillah is done earnestly, and it's done appropriately, and it's done b'mesinus, it's done b'iyun, it's not b'migras, you know what? You may find that all of a sudden the tefillah is more and more impactful. And if it's not, somehow you see that the tefillah isn't. So you have to take a step back. This is an akasha on Kadosh Baruch Hu. No, this is akasha on our attempt. Maybe it's not sufficient. So I'll tell you that just like when it comes to Eisek B'Torah, no, the Iyun, the Kviyas Itim, no, that's something, you know, it's not only true of Eisek B'Torah, it's true of Tefillah as well. I urge you, no, take the time. Be here bright and early, right? May be here till the end of davening. See to it that you really cling to the privilege that we have of Tefillah. Because just like when it comes to Eisek B'Torah, that doesn't only require Iyun. But as the Gaon writes, now tefillah bo'i iyun.
Mm-hmm.